Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic, turning the mics on. Terry with us, CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties.
I mean, it's Friday.
It's Friday. We got the band together on a Friday. It's nice. Feels
good. No mics, though.
No mics. We're going to try this, something new in radio. No mics. Nobody's doing that. We have got these Krispy Kreme Crocs to talk about a little bit later, Terry. We've got a couple of other interesting articles if we have time for. Certainly want to make time for local events in our area, touching on some good stories of the day, wrapping up with the United Way update. And we got these Civil War days is going on over at the Historic Point Boss this weekend. We got 4 tickets to give away, thanks to Mike Hintner. We'll get those in your hands before the hour is done. We have to start off with entertainment news, and we begin with another loss where it feels like we've started a lot of our week in this segment, losing a number of people. Malcolm Jamal Warner, Ozzy Osbourne, Chuck Mangione passed away, and Hulk Hogan has passed away.
Dude, we should have dressed up as Hulk Hogan today.
That'd have been good. 71 years old, medical personnel were sent to his home in Clearwater, Florida to treat a cardiac arrest. He ended up at a nearby hospital where he was pronounced passed away. I just the night before it has been so busy in my life, and it's one thing or another, and I have not, I already have a trouble with sleep, and I have never gotten along. The Sandman has something against me. I don't know what it is, but lately it's been even worse. So I've been up at night, and I've been having these white noise shows on in the background, and I had on a documentary about the one of the very first superstars in wrestling, the superstar Billy Graham. He was an early day wrestler, and he was right before Hulk Hogan. And he was Hulk Hogan before Hulk Hogan.
Billy Graham, like the televangelist?
Not the televangelist. Took the name. Like, took the name.
That's an interesting double.
That'd be a heck of a second act. Yeah. We haven't seen that one.
Which is the second?
We haven't seen that one.
The wrestling or the...
I think the reverse has happened plenty, where wrestlers have gone into preaching, but preacher going into wrestling...
I digress.
Which Billy, the real person that he was, he actually started out when he was a kid as a preacher, and then got into wrestling, bodybuilding, and then wrestling. And he became one of the biggest names in wrestling. And his act is exactly what Hulk Hogan would end up doing. I'm not saying that Hogan stole the act from him, but you go back and watch the footage. It's the ear thing. It's the tearing of the shirt. It's the pythons, the size of them, everything. Hulk Hogan, especially in recent years, had some issues, had some things that got him in trouble with society and people, and really hurt his legacy a bit. But that legacy is so strong and so big that even with those things, and that those things need to be said, the complex, when we're saying goodbye to somebody, my grandfather taught me this. One of the biggest disrespects I think you could do to somebody is if I go on the air right now and all I do is romanticize Hulk Hogan. That's not what his family, his friends, the people that love him deserve. What we deserve and what I want for myself is people being honest. And he was a difficult man. There were some things about him that rubbed people the wrong way. All of that said, at his peak, one of the top 5 most famous people in the world, and it's certainly in America. Man couldn't walk down the street even in disguise and not be recognized. That's how big he got. That's how big he got wrestling. As a little kid who moved to this state, didn't know what wrestling was, but came from a sports family, and enjoyed what I was seeing on the TV. I wanted to be an actor, so I was seeing sports and acting happening in front of me, and I was blown away, and I was taken within the first powerbomb. I was brought into it, and all the pomp and circumstance, and the leader of all this was Hulk Hogan. Wrestling does not get to where it is without somebody being the leader, somebody being the face of all this. And at that time, you needed an all-American guy. You needed a guy who was willing to embody all those things. The superstar Billy Graham, the guy that I was mentioning before that Hulk Hogan bodied a lot of his work from, he was not that guy. He couldn't do that. Whereas Hulk Hogan, eat your vitamins, kids. Go to school, kids. Like, he was that guy. He was the perfect star for the 80s. He was the perfect star for the moment in time. And he took the ball and he ran with it. He was able to do that. Wrestling doesn't get to where it is without Hulk Hogan. And 80s, you cannot talk about pop culture, not just in the 80s, pop culture history, without mentioning Hulk Hogan.
Totally.
And not only that, appeared in a bunch of different movies. Certainly, his feuds with Andre the Giant are maybe the most legendary in maybe in the history of wrestling to this day. Especially, I personally loved it with him and Rowdy Piper. I was a big Rowdy Piper guy, and I love when those two went back and forth and everything. His reality show also put him on another level too, and it gave him a second act and everything. I know it's weird to say at 71, but too young. Now, too young. And regardless of his his positives or negatives, I'd like to think we can agree on that, that's too young.
Absolutely.
And I feel for his friends and his family, and I appreciate his legacy. I appreciate as somebody who I still to this day, I don't watch wrestling anymore, but I respect the wrestlers. I respect. I don't think people take enough time to understand that. The matches are. I'm sorry. The matches are figured out beforehand.
Hey.
Earmuffs to any adults out there. But the injuries are real. The hours on the road are real. The hours away from your friends and family are real. No fakeness there. There's nothing you can fake about that. Those guys put their lives out there. Injuries, all these different things that happen, the ups and downs and stuff. And being the face of this stuff, I'm impressed by it. And I appreciate his legacy, appreciate what he did and the mark he left. Taking a look at this real quick here, and I thought I had this pulled up, but I guess I did not. So we've been talking a lot about Ozzy Osbourne, and a lot of people coming out of the woodworks and remembering him, and a lot of the things in pop culture. Oh, I remember when he did this. I forgot that he was on the Conan show once, and of course Ozzy's famous duet with Miss Piggy that was pretty well known and stuff. There's a lot of those. Well, of course, with somebody like Hulk Hogan, there is those stories as well. There are those. Well, wait a minute. That's right, he did this, or there was that time that Hogan did that, and there was, of course, the time that Hulk Hogan teamed up with Dolly Parton. And I don't think a lot of people will remember this one. I don't think that I got to play a little of this. I got to just get it up here. I thought I had it up. I apologize, everybody. But so the world lost, and they keep saying an 80s icon, just icon. Just icon. Hulk Hogan was an icon. Yes, I know he was of the 80s, but that guy was big his whole life. And once Literally. He made it, he never went down. His star might have faded a little bit here and there, but he was always, like, there was never a point in time where Hulk Hogan walked into a room and people were like, well, who is that? he was an icon. But did you know he and Dolly Parton once shared the screen together? It was on Dolly's short-lived variety sketch show, and Hogan joined as a guest. Hulk was playing a wrestler named Starlight Starbright, who shockingly looked and dressed exactly like Hulk Hogan. And then Dolly sang a song to him called He's Got a Headlock on My Heart. It is as campy as you could want it to be. It is everything you could ask for in that regard. And I encourage people to look up the sketch. You can find it online. It's a really good one. There's not really many things that are greater than 80s campy TV. There's not much better than it. It's there's great stuff in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but in the 80s they started really putting money behind this stuff, but they didn't have the ideas necessarily or the creativity to really what to do with it. It's the best definition of this is 80s music videos. All of a sudden, you got all this technology. You're starting to get budgets and money and time and effort put into these things. And a bunch of creatives in a room are like, okay, now I don't know what to do. Like, we got this band Flock of Seagulls. And we're just going to put them in a room and have a camera spin around. We're going to throw people in the desert. A lot of desert stuff in the 80s. A lot of music videos in the
80s. Anybody born, though, from the mid-90s on can't appreciate this. You had to have lived it a little bit.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I encourage people to check that out. Terry knows this about me, so I own this. I to the audience and everybody out there, as I have been doing, I do two morning shows back to back here. We are on the Sunrise Show at 105.5 from 7 to 9, and then I step across the hall, come over here, and do this from 9 to 11. Over on the Sunrise Show, I've been learning more and more about country music. For everything I know from like Johnny Cash or Patsy Cline, I'm learning more and more about newer artists. And one of the artists that I have really enjoyed is Miranda Lambert. So as Terry and the audience has learned, by now, I take any opportunity to talk about her. But I didn't need it this time. I didn't have to shoehorn her in this time. Miranda Lambert is stepping up once again to help her home state of Texas. She is mobilizing her nonprofit Mutt Nation Foundation, one of the better names you've ever heard, after the deadly flash floods that tore through South and Central Texas. In a video posted online, Miranda says, quote, "I can't even come up with any words for all the loss that everybody is suffering." She shared that Mutt Nation is teaming up with Caraville Pet Alive to help both people and pets affected by the disaster. Mutt Nation was founded by Miranda and her mom back in 2009, and the organization has already raised over $11 million to support animal shelters, promote pet adoption, and provide aid during natural disasters, which is a big part of what the foundation is about. Miranda says she'll keep sharing updates and encourages her fans to send love, prayers, and support however they can. Fans can donate through MuttNation.com. Encourage you to do so. I did when these first happened, just because this was something she was on right away. I hate name dropping. I don't mean to do it, but she texts me every once in a while.
Oh, for the love.
She does. I've got it right here, Terry. Now, yes, she texts all of her fans because, yes, it's a fan-based thing, but it still says Miranda Lambert when it pops up. It still does. Is it to a billion other people as well?
Oh, you mean you added Miranda Lambert as a contact?
No. She has, when her new album came out, she had this thing that you could do where you could sign up for news updates. So I get them in the form of a text. for like 5 seconds, I get to
read them in the bathroom. Yeah,
absolutely. I encourage people. I do have a point here. If you do this, it's a great way to also donate. It's a real easy, simple way, right through your phone, your Venmo, whatever you're doing. And just like a lot of other things we talk about, everybody, $1, $5 really goes a long way with a foundation like this.
And it is a fabulous foundation. And I'm really glad that Miranda Lambert sends you personal messages.
This is everything we were talking about before. This is what we do on a larger scale as a country. Nobody comes together like we do as Americans. Nobody looks out for each other like we do. I know that it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes and everything, and people want to try to divide us, but when it comes right down to it, heart to heart, American to American, nobody looks out for each other like we do. And we prove it every time we step up at situations like this. The horrifying situation that those families have been going through, the only thing that I would imagine is, you know, even somewhat of a comfort is knowing that all these strangers helping strangers and people reaching out and helping out. If you can, again, go to MuttNation.com if you can, everybody.
Amazing.
Taking a look at what's new on your small screen and your big screen. There's a lot of cool stuff on TV, I'm sure, this weekend. But to me, there's only one thing on TV. It's Happy Gilmore 2 is premiering on Netflix. I don't care if it's good.
Is it tonight?
Yeah, it's tonight. Really? I think it might already be even on there.
Oh.
Every once in a while, a movie comes out that I don't care if it's good. I'm going to watch it multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. Completely. I'm excited. There's a lot of cameos in this one.
We will watch this too, for sure.
That should be really good. And just nostalgia. You're just sitting there eating nostalgia through the whole 2 hours. Yeah. I cannot wait. Also on Peacock, the Fishing Scheme, the new movie from Wes Anderson. Encourage you to check that out. Great movie. Looks really good. There's a Death of a Unicorn on HBO Max. It's a dark comedy. Paul Rudd and Jenny Ortega. I really wanted to see that one. I can tell you what my mom is going to be watching. Billy Joel and So It Goes, Part 2. It's a documentary about Billy Joel. She said it was really good. The first half was really good. She's a huge Billy Joel fan. So, and the series premiere of Hurricane Katrina, Race Against Time, a 5-part documentary about one of the deadliest natural disasters in the U.S. That is going to be on NGC. You can check that out there. And Live Aid, When Rock and Roll Took on the World, Part 3 of the 4-part documentary of the 40th anniversary of Live Aid is on CNN on Sunday at 9. On your big screen, this is the big one. This is the last big, there's going to be other big summer movies coming out and stuff, but the biggest one, the one that everybody's been building up for all summer, Superman was that to a degree, but it's really the Fantastic Four from Marvel. And that's not an insult to Superman or DC, but over the run of this superhero renaissance that's been going on, where we saw the peak of it, where there was a new superhero movie or TV show coming out every second, and now the market is kind of adjusted a little bit, and now they're being a little more choosy with this stuff. Yeah, it's by
head. Instead of by second?
By minute, yeah. I think by minute. All right. But it's gotten a little better. all hands on deck kind of thing, where they are putting their time, effort so heavily into these projects, and no more than the Fantastic Four. They have tried three different times to make this a brand and make it happen, and it just has failed every single time. But they've never done it with the Kevin Feige and the Marvel team behind it, and this cast. And I mean, Pedro Pascal alone brings me to it. I think he's one of the best actors working today. They got a great cast. Joseph Quinn blew people away on Stranger Things. He really stole a lot of scenes, and he has a great opportunity here. I'm happy to see what happens for him. And Eben Moss from The Bear and some other stuff is a great character actor. There's a lot of expectations on this one. All that said, people are quicker to tear something down than to build it up. And that's unfortunate. I think that's low hanging fruit. I think it's really lame and tacky
and kind of lazy.
And lazy, yes. But we all know this and everything. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
I heard good things about Superman. Actually,
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was good.
I'm not even a Superman guy, and I was blown away by it. I really enjoyed it. I don't do this very often, but if you're looking for a fun summer movie, I definitely recommend that one. I think that's a great one to check out. There's a couple of them, and that's the big one coming out. Nobody wants to come out against this one. So Fantastic Four, Superman is already in theaters, and then with the Fantastic Four coming out, there's pretty much no other movies coming out.
I mean, I'm watching Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing. I want to see the Fantastic Four, but I'm watching Happy Gilmore. That's the big one that you got to watch. That's going to be a fun one to check out. We will check out our commercial break, take care of our partners, come back, got a little local entertainment I want to talk about, along with some other fun stuff coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Got a couple of local things I wanted to touch on, Terry. But first, just wanted to mention this one. I did want to get this one in. I think it's a fun story, and it's a chance for us to shout out our firefighters out there. A big shout out to all you firefighters out there. We greatly appreciate you. More on them in a little bit, actually. Firefighters rescued four cows from quicksand on a riverbank.
That's a big job.
It's a big job, and a sentence that you don't hear every day.
Or like, ever.
Any one of those words.
First time.
Like, yeah, definitely. Firefighters in Britain responded to a river where four cows had sank into quicksand that hardened into a thick mud. The Carlisle Iced Fire Station said on social media the crews responded alongside the other fire departments. Actually, three different fire departments came together for this.
Okay, when you think quicksand, first of all, do you think Britain?
Right? Yeah. No. I mean,
No. I have nothing to base that on other than I just think of like more of like a...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Perceived swampy or tropical, I don't know, climate.
Jungle, something like that. Or I've also heard plenty of like different conversations about quicksand's not what it is in, you know, the movies and TV shows, of course, and all that. So, I mean, I don't even know what the real quicksand is necessarily. I mean,
could you imagine you're that cow and you're just like walking along and all of a sudden you're stuck?
You know, this is not fair to the quicksand took an easy target here. That's totally. Low hanging fruit, man. That's not cool.
Cheating.
Being a cow and have that happen has got to be the worst situation.
So they had to use what, cranes?
Firefighters arrived. Yeah, actually, the firefighters arrived to find the quicksand had hardened into extremely firm mud, trapping the four bovines up to their necks. So they had to dig them out. The cows, which had broken through a gate overnight and made it their way to the river, were extracted by trained animal rescue and swift water rescue specialists using a telehandler borrowed from a farmer.
Interesting.
The fire station quipped, "It was an utterly good ending for all." And that is part of the reason I did the article. Yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
Had to do it.
I mean, fair.
One person laughed. Fair. At least one person. I saw at least one of you laugh out there. I heard at least one of you laugh. It's a cool story. It's also wild. Now that we know the animals are okay and all that,
I mean,
let's just take a beat to kind of think about. Like you mentioned it, right away, one of the first thoughts I had, where the quicksand was located. Also, what it takes to make quicksand. Like, why is this in the... I don't know. I feel like there should be something around the garden.
Stay in your fence.
Well, and not for nothing, cows, but I like cows. My youngest, my daughter, that's her favorite animal. But
it does reinforce the when you don't follow the rules, sometimes things go bad.
So the people that show up that are first there on the scene, that's one thing. But you got to call in, they brought in two other fire departments. What was that call like? So, hey, Greg. Hey, man, how you doing? Yeah, good to talk to you. Yeah, look, you're not going to believe this, all right? I know this is going to sound like a joke, but I got four cows stuck in quicksand. I'm going to need you to bring the whole team. I'm going to need you guys down here. Greg, he hung up. He didn't believe me. I got to call him back. I don't know how long that conversation had. That's not easy. Good on all of those workers. Way to be. Nice work by them. Did want to talk about Civil War days. This is a big one, Terry. This is a big, big event that our good friends over at the Historic Point Boss host. The Wakely's sons were members of the Union Army, Wisconsin 12th Company G during the Civil War. In honoring their service, they are holding their very first Civil War days, featuring troops from the 2nd Wisconsin, the Iron Brigade, 8th Wisconsin Light Artillery, 41st Virginia, McAllister Battery, Wyatt's Battery, 1st Alabama Cavalry, and the 1st Alabama Field Hospital. Battle skirmish will be at 1:30 each day, so both Saturday and Sunday this going on. Demonstrations, infantry drills, cavalry demonstrations, medical scenarios, and period dancing on Saturday night with the ticket. I love that added part. Plus, on top of all this, there'll be Civil War artifacts displayed by our great friends from the Southwick County Museum. Food and beverages will be on site, and you are not going to find many more affordable things going on than this event.
That is really cool.
It's an awesome one. Costs just $5 for adults. Kids are going to get in for $3. And if you've gone to this event in recent years, you're like, wait, that price has never changed? That is very important to the Historic Point Boss. They could easily charge a lot more for these things, but they want to keep the price set so that families can go to these events. They have our back. They are keeping history alive. Let's have their back and help them keep history alive by taking in these events. And how many people have ever seen a Civil War reenactment? Like, that's pretty cool. It's right in your neck of the woods, man.
Very
it's right
cool.
Here. Be sure to check that out. And on top of all this, how'd you like to go for free? Mike Kittner was in the other day talking about this. Encourage you to check out that interview at civicmedia.us and Rapids Report. And certainly I want to thank Mike for dropping off these tickets. I got four of them right here. If you want to go, call up 715-424-2600 or go ahead and dial in through the Civic Media app and call in. We'd love to hear from you, everybody, and get these tickets and take in Civil War days going on this weekend over at the Historic Point Boss at 364 Wakely Road, beautiful Nakusa. Saturday will be from 10 to 4, and then 7 to 9, they'll have dancing. And then on Sunday, it will be from 10 to 3. So be sure to some time for one of those events. Got plenty of time to get on over there and take that in and enjoy. Terry and I will be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break. We got these Crocs to talk about, Terry. Got to get into that. It's coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. 80s edition.
I was wondering why you were holding out on me.
Terry and James hanging out with you. I got to play it for you. We hope you're having a great Friday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. I'm going to get into an interesting one right here, Terry. I don't know. We've done a couple of these stories where different companies that you would never think combining, joining forces and creating some of the worst clothing or things we've ever seen as humanity. And that's somebody who, and that's saying something considering golf and some of the clothes that they wear on the golf course and everything. So all that said, here's an interesting one. Krispy Kreme and Crocs are teaming up to create a new limited edition Krispy Kreme Crocs Classic Clogs. They cost $90. And will come in a box inspired by a donut box. And there will also be a pack of 5 Krispy Kreme themed Gibbets charms available for $20. So that's an add-on. You don't even get them with it. Is that a normal price?
You
got to
pay more for the bling, man.
I guess. Is that?
I think I don't know. I think plain one, just like regular Crocs are probably in like the 50, 60-ish range, maybe 50-ish range. Mm. The lined ones, because you can get ones that are like flannel lined kind of. Okay. Those are like 80.
Hmm.
That looks disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was like icing going over the top of a Croc.
That didn't look
like
that
actual
look like
frosting.
Let's see if I can get a good picture of these here. And of course, they got all that. And then the gibbets, that's the little things that you can put on top of them, right?
Yeah, they poke through the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm trying to get a good look at this thing. It just looks like a white crock that's, you know, okay, they got donuts on them. I see. There we go. So it's brown like a donut.
Oh, like a like imagine a round glazed donut or with sprinkles.
And then it's kind of like that the Krispy Kreme box with the green around the handle.
That's called the adventure strap.
Oh, it's.
You only have to put them on.
An adventure strap.
Come on. You only have to wear the adventure strap when you might blow a crock. Otherwise, you can just have it forward. Are you giving me bells or something? Oh, I thought you were going to be like, ding,
no,
ding, ding.
No, no. I almost did, but you lost me at blowing a crock out.
Dude.
That's hilarious.
If you think they're going to fall off, you got to put the adventure strap on.
I get it. Or you could just wear
it. But in general, a lot of people just leave them flipped forward.
I get it. The shoes will be really... No, I don't, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get it. I get that I don't get it. I'll say that. The shoes will be released on Tuesday, August 5th in Crocs stores and throughout their website. If you're worried about missing out, you can get access to them one day earlier on Monday, August 4th by going to a participating Krispy Kreme and scanning a QR code. Also, any customer wearing any pair of Crocs inside a Krispy Kreme shop on Saturday, August 9th can score a free original glazed donut.
Nice.
I love when they do these. Krispy Kreme is really good at the promotion stuff.
I mean, if you buy what, 110 you're with once you get the gibbets in there,
yeah.
I mean, you could get a free, what, and that $2 donut?
Boy, that evens it all out.
I mean, that seems logical.
I really don't have anything against it. I don't have anything against anybody's fashion or style or anything. I look at one picture of me, and I have no right to judge anybody on style or clothing or anything. I still dress like a teenager. I know that. I own it. I am working on it. But
you're not working on it.
No, I have to say that. Otherwise, my sister and my mother will just never let it.
He's not working on it.
But when it comes to these, I've never really worn a pair, and even when I tried a pair on, because again, my sister was like, "Oh, try." She wanted me to try her husband's pair on. I think I put them on, and granted, I got bigger feet, but I just didn't like the feel of them.
You're so sensitive.
I am, but I would also, I take any opportunity to be barefoot.
So I can't say that I would necessarily own a pair of Crocs, except a million years ago when Crocs first came out, and I worked at Yonkers. We had them there, we sold them before everyone sold them, and we had this promotion by store, like whichever store could sell the most over the course of a weekend or something. Mm-hmm. So we told employees if they bought a pair, and they did get an employee discount, but if they bought a pair, then they could wear them at work because that was not normal dress code.
Okay.
And so not only did we have employees buying them, counting toward our total, but then they were wearing them and showing people. And so I bought a pair, obviously, to wear for that promotion. And I literally still have the exact same pair. And so we're talking at least 25 years ago. That I've had them. I just have the plain black ones, and I do have one gibbet. It's nice. A little ladybug, just a little red ladybug, and it's only about the size of the hole, so it's super cute. But I literally, it would be very odd. Maybe someone has seen me off of my property with them on, but it would be very odd for you to see me anywhere with them on, unless maybe I'm on the boat or you know what I mean, like something like that where I'm going to be wet. But, I just use them for gardening.
You helped me remember the one thing that I would say is a huge selling point about them. If you take good care of them, they last forever. I mean, they're pretty durable. They're pretty resilient. So, in that regard, if you're spending good money on them and you tell me they're going to last a long time, that's different. I learned the hard way not to spend too much. There's a sweet spot for me on shoes where I'm not going to buy the cheapest pair, but I'm also not going to go out of my way.
Right.
I burn through shoes like crazy to the point where at this age and now with a little money in my pocket, I've got like eight more pairs of shoes than I've ever had in my whole life, by far and away.
And you won't even outgrow them.
No, that's nice.
See?
For once. That won't happen. But also I noticed that I can keep all of them lasting longer by cycling through them.
But you know, one of my daughters had five pair, like every different color, because that's all she wore. When she wasn't in sports shoes, she was in Crocs. But then as she outgrew them, I mean, we passed them to like my niece and nephew, because of course they're all interchangeable, right? Like there's no boy, girl, like it's just everybody wears whatever color. And I still see them running around it. You know, like they, even for kids, like they last.
Yeah. Another one that I wanted to get into, and I wanted to talk about this with you or Seth about this one in particular, because you guys still have younger kids, and I know that your kids are getting, you know, almost out of the house and some of that, but you have been a part of a time where that I haven't as a parent. My kids are in their 20s. They've been out a long time. The age of a when to give a kid or when to let a kid start using a cell phone, there is no set time or date with this one. This is one that we're trying to figure out in real time. We're trying to fix the boat while we're on the water kind of thing. And I think it's an interesting conversation that I'm curious to know where people are falling on. A new study found 13 is the minimum age kids should get their first smartphone or be allowed on social media, period. Any younger risks the future mental health. That is what a lot of studies are saying. They based it on a survey of almost 2 million people in 164 different countries, so not just here. Kids who get access to phones and social media before 13 are more likely to end up depressed, aggressive, or emotionally unstable by their mid-20s. The study blamed it on three main things. Poor sleep. They're way more likely to lie in bed scrolling. The study found it's true even if they don't have social media, just a phone. And cyberbullying. Not just from other kids, but being online exposes them to all kinds of hate and those things. And then poor family relationships. Once they have the internet in their hands, they start drifting away from other family members. Again, the study found 13 is just the minimum. Some experts say keeping them off phones until off the gram until they're 16 might not be a bad idea either. This is not to make any parent feel guilty that has done this sooner. At least coming from me, I'm not going to speak for the you can go to ZM Science or CNN or some other places to find the complete article. I don't want it to sound like my intention for bringing this up is any. I get so sick and tired of parents making other parents feel guilty. Guess what? The parent already feels guilty. You don't have to help on this. You don't have to add on to it or anything. I'm not trying to do that. But what I do think we need to more normalize these conversations about this, because this is something that is, for one, a case by case. Every family, every kid is going to be different, and that's on the parent and the kid to figure that out. But it's also a newer conversation, even though it's been probably 15, 20 years this has been happening. It's newish, and we don't talk about this stuff enough. We don't put it out there in the open enough. When's the last TV show you saw that addressed this topic? You know, when's the last time you've heard this brought up in the news or something? It comes up here and there, but it doesn't come up a lot, and yet it's a major thing. It's a pretty big thing. It shouldn't, for everything that is a parent's job, and a parent one, this is you, only you, this is on your shoulders. Anytime in life, as a society, we can help, or we can add, or just be a positive to it, and another data source, I think is important as a society. It takes a village, right? Well, we're a village. That's what we are. I think adding to this can only help the conversation.
See, I think, I mean, I guess I disagree a little bit with some of that, because I think it is parents' responsibility. And I don't care if it's a phone, I don't care if it's a car, I don't care. Anytime you hand a kid something, a kid who is not mature, so under, I don't know, they're what, early 20s? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, anytime you just hand them something and are just like, oh, now because you have it.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be guidelines, and there has to be mm-hmm. guidance, and there has to be rules. I mean, like, for in our house, it was middle school is when the kids got phones. So when they went from elementary school to middle school. But there were rules. It wasn't like, oh, you have this phone now and you can do whatever the heck you want
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
There's lots of parent monitoring apps. Our kids were not allowed their phones after a certain time at night. And they charged in my bedroom, in mm-hmm. our bedroom, mm-hmm. on a charging stand, like on a table, you know, with a charging stand. And you could get it in the morning after you were ready for school. Like, I think there's just so much of that because they have it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're mature enough to handle all of it. You know, well, so I just think that there's, I don't know. I think there needs to be some onus on parents on stuff.
Yeah, 100% agree with you there. And especially that what you said right before that about just because you have it doesn't mean you're mature enough to have it. We know adults like that.
For sure.
We know plenty of adults that are not mature enough to have the technology they have. And that, again, isn't a judgment. That's just honest, being honest about it, let alone kids and everything.
You know, so. You think about driving and think about all the training that goes into that. Think about all the practice, all the, you know, like all the preparation. corporation.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of cases, a phone is probably more dangerous than a car.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Why do we just hand them to them?
And it's no different than a car or a driver's license. You don't just hand it to them. You teach them. You help them learn. You help them grow with it. And it sounds not just to try to use you as an example, but I appreciate you sharing that because that sounds like a smart way of doing it. I think the worst thing you could do is, hey, you turned 18. Here's a phone. Because that doesn't, sheltering a child doesn't help them any. That's not our job as parents. We got to get them ready for the real world. We got to get them ready for being out there while also trying to balance, I want my kid to stay a kid. What happened? My child was just one. They were just one. How did that happen? You know, and trying to keep up with that. Again, this is what I mean by sharing of information and not judging each other. Definitely accountability. Accountability comes first with most things, with me at least. But I do think that sharing stories like you just did and everything is really key for parents, especially young parents, getting started in the game.
Like, you can't use screens to babysit your kids either.
No,
you know what I mean? Like little kids, right?
Yeah,
Like you see that a lot. Parents will just hand their kid their phone. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, yes, you're in a situation where it's like, okay, I need to phone, you know, but just in general, like, there needs to be human-to-human interaction is important, and it's about teaching. You know, there are no phones at the table at my house.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down for dinner, I better not see a phone. Still, I don't care if you're 20, I don't care if you're you, I don't care if you're my husband. Do not have your phone
at
the table.
Like that.
And that's just, it's just the deal. I don't have mine there either. I mean, let's interact with each other. Let's talk to each other. Let's hear about each other's day. We're not on the phone.
It shouldn't take work. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be too tough to do. I always like to, longtime listeners know, I try to end every segment, every show on a positive or a funny note. And with a topic like this, I wasn't really sure where to go. And then my mind just had the thought of me at 13 with a cell phone. Has anybody thought about that?
No, we don't want to, but now that we are.
One of the most crazy and dangerous, insane things I've ever thought of, maybe, is me at 13 with a cell phone. I don't know how I would have been with something like that. I was a knucklehead to begin with. I am not the person that you... I was so different then, and I am now, and I think about it. And I'm doing this for comedic purposes a little bit.
But it's just general maturity.
At the same time, there's a little truth in that, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Nobody is the same at 30 as they were at 13.
I would hope not.
Well, although I should say nobody because some aren't sure.
We will take a final timeout for the week, come back and wrap up the morning show for the week here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR 97.5 FM Locally Grown Radio. Terry and James here to wrap up the show for the week. Gigantic thank yous to all of our guests throughout the week, all, of course, our co-hosts, Pam out front holding things down for us, and of course all of you for joining us, making this one of the more popular morning shows in the area. We appreciate you doing that, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us, all of our sponsors, all of y'all. We appreciate you helping to make this show happen.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't really sound right coming from you.
No, but it's been happening more and more. And I'm not doing it on purpose. I can't help myself.
It's fine.
I'm like,
wait a minute, what did he just say?
And I got to work on that. I got to work on a lot of things.
Converting.
We got to get to our schedule. We got some good stuff lined up for you, everybody. We're looking forward to a great Rapids report. Going to have a good one lined up for you with that today. Be sure and join us for that. We will have the ADRC, Aging and Disability Resource Center, joining us for one episode. And then we'll have another episode with our friends in the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Department. Ron is not able to join us, but he did set up a nice interview for us. We're going to be speaking with Melanie, their food service director over there.
Nice.
I don't know if we've had a chance to really talk with her and talk about that part of the game. So
are you going to ask her about the lunch lady?
Definitely. Yeah, I got it, right? It's got to be my first question.
You have to.
Have to do it. I have to. We'll do.
You better.
Find out. Listen to the Rapids Report. Find out. Everybody, civicmedia.us. You can find all of our shows podcasted over there. Thank you so much for supporting the show, everyone. Got Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight, but we have our tailgate before that. That's Playmakers. Join me and Seth tonight, 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. We speak sport. Call in with your sports takes, feelings. Get them out of your system. Nobody's doing a sports show like we are. Come and check it out, everybody. 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. A big thank you to them for sponsoring the show. And we will lead you into Rafter Baseball tonight, hosting the Wausau Woodchucks at 6:20 right over at Winterfield. Looking forward to more Raptor baseball. Get your tickets and find out more at northwoodsleague.com. Raptors are in action tomorrow. Got an earlier scheduled time, 12:50. They'll be getting going on Saturday. That is also Pocket Schedule Show. They'll have some schedule available for you and some fun stuff going on at the ballpark. Check it out. Also wanted to mention that our team is hard at work right now getting ready for a great remote that's going to kick off in a couple of minutes over on 105.5 WIRI. Our good friends at Tri-City Services are celebrating their 80th anniversary. Congratulations to them.
Awesome. And new location.
Yeah, that's really cool. Go check it out, everybody. They're at 321 4th Avenue North right here in Rapids. Check out that new location. They got a ribbon cutting beginning at 11. At 11:30 to 6, they're going to be partying. It's all going to be fun. Again, they're at 321 4th Avenue North. They're going to celebrate, have some food, fun, raffles, and we're down there. Got Melissa and Ashley down there. Go say hi. And if you bring a non-perishable food item for the Focus Food Pantry, they will donate a dollar for every item collected today.
Cool.
This is one of the things we love about Tri-City Services. Not only your go-to place for heating, AC, and plumbing, but obviously you've heard them for many, many years advertising with us over here, and you know about the good products and the good things that they do in our community.
And they're great always, people. I mean, just so generous.
They're always putting in and doing things. We appreciate them. Have some fun today. Get on over there and enjoy, and say hi to Melissa and Ashley, and good luck with the remote, you two. Have fun. You can catch the remote 11 to 1, I believe, over at 105.5 WIRI. It's going to be a fun time. Everybody, check
out.
Our Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market is going on tomorrow. Check that out. It's going from 8 to 1. A great opportunity to buy local, support local, and check out some of the great vendors we have in this area. And a really big one going on as well. I wanted to mention a touch truck event happening tomorrow from 11 to 3 over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. This is being a free event hosted by the Grand Rapids Lions Club, brought to us by our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Journalistically mentioned, I am on the board of the Family Center, and this is a cause that matters a lot to me. Not only is this an opportunity to be there, have fun, kids games, food, raffle, and fun, we're going to have our Sheriff Becker is going to be down there with the Sheriff's Department and being represented with one of their trucks, and we're going to have our police department down there, and fire department down there, all of this, all that is really great. This is also an opportunity for you as a business or you as a citizen to show that you're on the right side of history and you're supporting our family center along with all those people I just mentioned. And you're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come on down to the Grand Rapids Lions Club for this free fun event, the 5th annual Touch a Truck event, happening tomorrow over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club, 11 to 3.
Very cool.
We will also be out and about at Celebrate in Plover, their 2-day event that's going on starting today and tomorrow. They're going to have food and beverages. Their car show is going on today at 5, Kids Fun Run at 5:30. And then tomorrow at 9 a.m., they got a volleyball tournament, pickleball after that from 10 to 2. And their outdoor business expo is going on from 10 to 5. We will be down there. Come on by and say hi. It's going to be a fun time. We're looking forward to that, and I appreciate being down there to have that event. And Terry, I wanted to wrap up a little with the United Way. I want to remind everybody about some of the good things you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, so get in on Stuff the Bus. This is our school supply drive. 2 weeks from yesterday is the deadline. So we are crunch time. August 7th at Lunch by the River is kind of the culmination of the drive. We encourage you to get your supplies to us before 1 p.m. on August 7th. Bring them to Lunch by the River or stop by our office with them at 351 Oak Street. There's also a large variety of drop-off points in the community that you can find on our website. So, you know, that's kind of the biggest thing that we have right now hanging out there. And then also if you are a parent or caregiver for a student in the Southwood County area who is in need of school supplies. Kind of the loose guideline is if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, but of course if there's other situations that may have popped up, we would like to help you with school supplies, but you must register, and registration closes next Friday, August 1st, at the end of that day. So you have to register your students. There is no walk-in opportunity. So we encourage you to do that at uwswac.org, or of course you can always call 211 between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday to get registered.
Wrapping up on uwswac.org, bookmark that website, uwswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Always appreciate the time, Terry, and certainly the effort and everything you guys do at the United Way. Some people complained about it raining on their wedding day, but a couple in the Philippines got married in a flooded church after a typhoon hit the area. There are even wedding photos that are circulating about them being in knee-deep water, and every one of them smiling. Just big smiles, big happiness.
That's their church.
Yeah. I mean, that's just fun. We are getting married. of all the times, like, hey, maybe we should move it to another day. No, we're doing this now.
Or even just to a different location. But
they were not taking no for an answer. They're making that happen.
Good on them.
An electric engineer in rural Vermont is pitching in by fixing up old payphones and installing them in spots with no cell phone service. He buys them for a few $100, adds a gadget that connects them to the internet, and installs them from outside businesses. And since they're online, they don't need a quarter. The calls are free.
Nice.
How cool is that? That's cool.
Very cool.
Have a great weekend, everybody.